at the end of the day, what I'm doing is to help others and myself be open to new perspectives, to shift their perspectives on what they might have been told at one point in their life, but that truly exists in a different way, to shine light on those that have not been given the spotlight in moments. And also what I've been working on is allowing this format to help bring people back to the present moment, really.
Welcome to Elements of Styles, the business podcast that trades in scarce thinking for community, conversation, and ideas in abundance. Each week, I, Mark Styles, sit with professionals and entrepreneurs, both local and global, and learn how they each add value to their communities, their partners, and their teams. Please enjoy.
Hey, folks, welcome to Elements of Styles. Today, I am super grateful to have this amazing human being coming on the show with me. I know him really well. In fact, I remember the day he was born. That is right. I was there. This is co-founder, artist, director, producer, document, story Sherpa with Q the Bird, co-founder of the Sizzle Town, making the sizzle, the nest. This is none other than an amazing human being. Did I mention that? Mimi, tune in here. This is my nephew, ladies and gentlemen, one for which I am super proud of. Meet JP Styles. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much.
So what have you been up to, man?
Great question. I've been up to a lot. If we're talking within work specifically, I have been in a development period right now. So I work as a director and producer, specifically right now, specializing in documentary work. I started out in short form many years ago, doing commercials and music videos and fashion films. Then I got into documentary about 4 years ago now. And so I've done a music documentary, a sports documentary, a natural history documentary is what I'm working on right now. And we're in a bit of a pause period in between projects. So we've just been, I have a co-producing directing partner. We've been developing new concepts to bring out and pitch around. So that's what's been going on in the work front. We also started a new arm of our business, specializing in pitch materials for other companies that need to sell shows, because we've kind of become experts on how to do that. And other than that, you know, I live in Topanga now, which is kind of in the outskirts of Los Angeles. Some people call it the hippie town. So if I'm a modern day hippie, then I'm all for it. And yeah, just enjoying this ride on this beautiful planet that we have here.
Mimi, did you hear that? Aren't you proud of your grandson? I am sure proud of my nephew right here.
Thank you.
Good on you, brother. So folks, let me be proud here for a second. Golden documentary about the gymnasts going to the Olympics. If you saw it, this is the creator, producer, director with his partner, Harrison. So good. If you haven't seen it, find it and go see it. Golden, JP Styles and Harrison,
Max.
Last name, Harrison Max. So good. They're working on editing a very cool documentary on sharks. So cool, so creative, so artistic, so proud. Now, you started off by saying, well, it depends. What do you want to talk about? The work side is, what do you want to talk about, JP? What else are you up to?
Outside of work is your question.
It sounds like your work isn't a four-letter word. Your work, when I am hearing about, talking with, listening to folks talk about JP, it's passion, right? So everybody seeks that. We all have yet not have found that yet. You seem to have found that, where I don't really call it work because it's awesome.
Yes.
So does that kind of blend with life and work and everything?
Absolutely.
Is simply cool.
Absolutely. And you bring up a good point, which is, you know, there's difficult parts within all industries, and certainly within this one too. It can feel like, you know, work, four letters at times. But at the end of the day, what I'm doing is to help others and myself be open to new perspectives, to shift their perspectives on what they might have been told at one point in their life, but that truly exists in a different way, to shine light on those that have not been given the spotlight in moments. And also what I've been working on is allowing this format to help bring people back to the present moment, really. So I am just have chosen this path and this medium as my way to do it. But overall, that's kind of the goal. in life.
I love it. Tell me about the present. How do you bring people present? And what an inspiring thing to achieve to do, by the way.
Well, I'm still figuring that out as I strive for it. But, you know, within this medium, there's a lot of crap and clutter out there.
Okay. Noise. They call it noise, right?
There's a lot of noise.
Same with podcasts.
This is true. So a lot of it comes down to what is the intention behind that which you are putting out. And can you help bring someone through an experience that causes reflection or discussion within a moment? And also, if you think about movies in general, or a documentary, you are helping someone to transport into someone else's life. Or, you know, these vehicles are empathy machines as well, right? So to feel more intensely in that moment, they're all just reminders that we're here. I mean, it's hard to kind of put in a, it's hard to speak it because it is, a lot of it is based off of feeling, but yeah, I'm still toying with the best way to do it. And that's part of the fun of this process.
That's fascinating. So where have you seen the most impact, where you first thought, there's something more here that I'm doing?
Great question. Well, it starts first. What came to mind is two scenarios. One, when I was first doing this and I was making videos for the bands that I was in and travel videos, that's when I realized that this could even be a craft. I would make these videos, show people, and then it would give them an experience, not the same, but some part of it. And then it would create to facilitate discussion. So that was a really beautiful thing to be able to come back, share people with this experience, take them along the ride with me. And then we could have that discussion afterwards in reality with this person. You know, I'll go on a tangent and then come back to my other point. I watched Avatar with my dad, who you know very well. And I mean, after that experience, you know, 3 hours on IMAX, I basically had to sit and stare at a blank wall after, just visually to like bring it back down. And we ended up having a conversation by the fire from like midnight to 2 a.m. that took us into a new level of depth that we haven't hit before, right? And part of that is because of that movie allowing us to dive into another world that made us so expansive in our thinking and then facilitated that conversation. So that's the sauce that I love. And to your point about the impact, it first starts, at least in documentary right now, this will be different for scripted, but in documentary, it first starts with the person that I'm following. So part of my job, I get to sit down with people, much like a podcast, but for longer periods of time. I might sit down with, you know, using Golden as an example, a gymnast for 6 hours, you know, and for 6 hours,
how much?
Well, I might sit down with them for 6 hours, just in one sitting, to get their whole life story. Right.
Got it.
And how often are they telling someone their whole story?
And this is all being filmed and documented.
Correct. So I'm sitting behind a camera asking
any question. They're recording this or this?
No, this is me setting up a camera and sitting behind it and asking the questions so that we can then pick this apart. One, to understand who they are, and then to tell their story properly. But a lot of those interactions, I've gotten feedback that it's like a therapy session, right? And I didn't know how this would work out when I was in college, but I did take psychology and film. Those were my two majors. Cool. So in a way, I really blended together. No one had done that at Tulane yet. But to be able to essentially create a space of comfort and to make them feel comfortable to be vulnerable on camera and with me has allowed these people to reflect hugely in their life. Because sometimes people just don't sit and reflect and stop and think, period. So being able to help that is great.
Superpower, by the way, right? That is a skill that not many people have. And to get folks to open up where they didn't think they would is a superpower. Would you run into some like, I gotta work slowly. I gotta slow down. I've gotta come to where they are at and not move too quickly down uncomfortable lane?
Yes. So just to wrap up that last question, by doing that, by having people be vulnerable on camera, then it allows people at home to say, wow, maybe I can think about this differently. Maybe I can share my story. So that's where it trickles down the line. So to your question about, going in slower, absolutely. Reading the room is huge. You know, on every documentary, usually the first week, you know, we might not tell the producers this, but we know it's a wash. We're just getting in there, getting people comfortable with us and cameras.
Cool.
So we build that into the schedule. And then, yeah, it's about creating a relationship. I mean, these are very real people. It's very intense because there was a quote from another director that was, you shoot with a warm heart, but a cold eye, which I thought was very interesting because we need to stay unbiased to create the best product and observe first. But then that is a real person and you are dealing with real emotions and feelings, right? So yes, it's very much often gaining trust, and this is not to use it against them. I mean, people should really trust us because we want to create a great story for them and
That's
help
a
them.
Great point.
But then we want
trust.
Trust. Yes, it's really like going around. I use the analogy. It's like I'm taking them along a mountain's ridge, and it's getting very narrow, and you're about to go across a turn, and it looks very scary. But I'm holding their hand. I'm saying it's going to be okay. Let's go. And then we do it, and it's okay. But then again, we have to do it again because it's constant trust with this person. And so, yeah, that's a big
Sherpa.
Mm-hmm. I'm a Sherpa. Yep.
You're a
story Sherpa. That's exactly it.
Story Sherpa. There it is, Tom. Mark sits down with JP Styles, story Sherpa. That is so, so inspiring and so impactful, right? Trust is so vitally important. And everybody comes to you in a very different place. There must be layers of trust that are so, just like a spectrum of trust, like somebody who is like, I'm fully open and I'm an open book and let's go, versus like, I don't trust you, buddy, until you can prove you're trustworthy. I mean, you must run into some resistance of people who are like, I didn't really sign up for this.
Mm-hmm.
How
Absolutely.
Do you do that?
Well, that's a layered question. If it's our main talent, we're going to have a couple conversations to make sure that they understand what we're all getting into. Of course, there's times where they're like, I didn't really want to talk about this. And then we decide, well, do we even need that?
Interesting.
Or is that just our own curiosity? So it depends on the story too. But of course, there are like side characters that, you know, to your point, they don't want to be a part of it, right? And I'm not trying to make people feel uncomfortable. That's not my business, right? But yes, if I can let them know why we're doing this, the main vision, how this is going to help other people, it's a conversation that we then have, and usually because we have good intentions, we can get people on board. But there's been many projects in this development process where they've died because people don't want to do it. They don't want to share their story. They don't want to open the books. They want full control over the project, which doesn't sell. Like a big streamer will be like, you know, if the character within it has full control of the story, that's going to be a biased project. It doesn't really, the only person who could do that was Michael Jordan in The Last Dance, because was okay with seeming like a little bit of a hard ass and was like, yeah, let's rock. But he had control over that story, but it was so amazing that it didn't matter.
How do you build the arc of the story with Doc? I mean, it's a documentary. You're simply observing what's happening. How do you then create a story around that?
Exactly. When in a scripted show, you know, you're writing and you're speaking what will be, and in documentary, you're listening and then you're reflecting. And of course, you know, within a subject, you have a general idea of what could happen. You know, if they're in just gymnastics, we know that they're going to be going for the Olympics. There's going to be some sort of sacrifice within it. So we have these key points, and we do, the process is you generally write out like, you know, a pitch or a concept of what it could be. And then as you film, more things come up and the story develops, and it's like, it all comes into focus. So it's kind of blurry, and then it comes into focus.
That's
pretty
cool.
I was going to say.
Well, that's pretty cool. First of all, let's kind of pick at that a little bit more, as they say, double click on that, right? So your pitch is, this is what it could be. However, this is what it is.
Yeah. It's a funny thing, because when we were doing our music documentary,
what's the name of that?
And Music. It's on Roku now. Originally was sold to Quibi, but that streamer died. But put out during COVID, which is probably, you know, not the best for them. But, you know, it was a 6-part series, different episodes, each part. And it would be like the execs were being like, what is the story? Like, what's going to happen here? And we were like, it's a documentary. Like, we're going to go and find out, right? And because people are very risk averse, especially now today. So they kind of want to know what you're going to get. But part of it, the nature of it, is it's going to change. And that's the fun of it. And some of the best documentaries have happened because of that. Like Icarus, they had no idea what was going to be going down and they just stumbled upon it. So
isn't that fascinating? So that's the art. The art that you have found is to create story through documentary filmmaking to make impact on massive amounts of people.
Yeah.
Cool.
There it is.
I think your parents must be very proud of you, son.
I mean, I hope so. They've been supportive all along the way. So shout out to them.
Shout out to them, Dennis and Marie. They gush over you, by the way, every time I talk with them, gushing. And your sister and brother, obviously.
Yeah.
That is really cool. So right now you're in editing, right? So you've got some time to reflect, right? That's the goal of the editing process, right? Is where is this story, or do you have this story dialed in? Tell us specifically for Mimi, where you're at with the latest project.
So with the latest project, which I can't tell too much about until it comes out, but in terms of process, you have an idea of what's going to happen. You dive in. And then when you come back, you know, we were in a different location. We come back to LA and you reassess what just went down. What did we learn?
Yeah.
Which is great because often me and my director partner, Harrison, like to dive into a new field we've never experienced. And then we can take the viewer on that experience. What's it like to come from zero experience to being an expert?
Cool.
So we come back and then we essentially sift through the footage and make our selects. Every day we're writing notes, by the way. A day happens, we're writing, this is the main parts of the day. This is a great moment that I loved. Here's a storyline we should follow. Let's see what's going to happen there. And then when we have a curiosity, we ask it in an interview to see if there is anything there. So we chip away. It's like you get a block of stone, a block of granite. Each day you're chipping away until that final edit. That final statue is made because it's there. You just got to find it and crack it open. So yes, right now we have pre-edited the story. We have written an outline of what we believe it should be that we will pass off to a very talented editor. And then he will help kind of bring it all together. And we will be acting as story liaisons. Hey, here's a great moment in interview. Hey, this is a great visual to put over top of it. These are the songs. This is the composer we're working with. Let's go. So that's kind of an overview of how it goes down.
Love it. I love it. I love it. And what part of the process do you like the most?
Two parts. Actually being on set energizes me in a way that it's just endless, you know, and stuff gets pretty crazy on set, but I can just keep going because again, that's where I'm extremely present is on set in the process with the team that I have built and trust. And we are capturing these beautiful moments of real life. And I'm a part of that, but as an observer, connecting with the talent is a great moment for me as well, as I kind of inquire about their whole life up until where they are today. And then the edit has its, meticulous moments within it. But as things come into focus and we pick a song and we know what we want to use, and then we can just really start to see it, that is a beautiful moment. So it was, you know, at first the beginning of the edit is fun because you're just looking at everything, and then towards the last third of the edit is great because then you're just adding the spice and the sauce and the story's there, but let's try this and let's, you know, add this effect or whatever we want to put on top of it. That's really fun for me too.
How much of the editing gets you to go back to that journaling, the notes of the day, and then cataloging back to like, okay, here's what we were thinking on this day. Let's go get that footage. Or is there something more different?
Well, do you mean let's go reshoot something? Or you're saying, hey, no. I'm gonna go back to the journal. So
journal, how much are you relying on that journal once the last film is
right.
cut?
Well, it's kind of like a big data funnel. So we create this huge spreadsheet with all these notes of what happened each day.
Cool.
And then if there's it's a scene tracker. So we're like, hey, there's this one scene where our talent was talking to their parents or whatever, and they said a couple of these things. And then instead of someone, you know, the editor being like, is there a scene where they talk to the parents? I can go, hey, I know that happened. Go to the scene tracker, type in, you know, parents. Okay, it's there. Oh, they kind of talked about this. Okay, let me go in and find that moment. I mean, when you have 3 months of footage and you're filming 6 hours a day, it's a gargantuan amount of data. Whatever. Yeah. So fix that word.
That.
But it's big. We're dealing with a lot of data. We're essentially, you know, filming someone's day-to-day life, which is a lot of little things happening. So we got to find the best moments and remember where they are. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So obviously there's, you know, somebody who's not even close to this, there's like a search mechanism, there's the creation, there's the talking and the workshopping. And then it's, we can actually find that. Let's narrow it down for JP to like 2 hours and he'll find the nugget. So now that you're in editing and you're getting, you know, to the final phases, do you have another project you're eyeing? Is there something that you really want to start to investigate further, discover into, do some more research? Are we gonna, what are you thinking?
Yes, this is a tricky question because I don't like to talk too heavily about projects that I'm just beginning to dip my toe in. You know what I mean? Like I want to get it, make sure it's real, and then I want to share it. Otherwise, you talk about a project, it never happens. You don't want to be that guy. But of course, there are many other projects. You know, my curiosity has led me to a lot of great people and places. So I'm letting that lead me. And when you're finding a new project, it's a lot about intuition. What does your gut say? This is interesting. And then, okay, can this have commercial value? Not that that's the main goal, but you got to find funding. You got to convince people to pay for it. So that's a real part of this industry. There's both. I mentioned we started this part of our company where we're helping people. We're like doulas for their show concepts. We're helping birth their ideas. And
what's the name of that?
It's called The Nest. So Q the Bird is the production company. And we have The Nest as another arm, post-production arm of it. And then, I'm Harrison, my co-business partner and best friend. We are constantly looking at ideas, listening to podcasts, reading books, just experiencing life period and meeting people and seeing where curiosity takes us and if there's a story there. And it's all around. I mean, people are always asking us, what genre are you in? You know, sports, music, nature. But it's really like, what's a fascinating story of someone trying to push themselves in a new way? And I mean, we're looking into consciousness after death. We're looking into, you know, health and wellness space, which is a big buzzword now, whatever that might mean to you. You know, natural or kind of like, there's a big term that people use now, which is true con, which is a fascinating realm to be in. So yeah, all the above.
What is true con?
It's like a Tinder swindler or...
I watched a really good one on these kids in Miami with the Bitcoin. It was just a 2 hour Netflix said, hey, Mark, you're going to want to watch this. And it was fascinating. And I thought about you actually watching it, how open they were talking through their crime. You know, it's like, is that a good idea? Let me ask you this, curiosity.
Yeah.
So important. Has that muscle grown exponentially while doing this? Is there a limit to how curious you can actually be? Where are you going with your curiosity?
Not in my world. I mean, it's kind of the same concept as questioning everything.
Yeah.
Right. Do I really know what's going on there? I've learned it in this way, but let me experience it for myself. So yeah, there's no limit for me.
Love that. Love it. So tell me about the startup Nest. Tell me what you guys are doing with your next opportunity. Your next Nest opportunity.
Yes. So we decided to specialize in development materials for TV and film. So when you're going to sell a show or a film, what's extremely helpful to have is sure a deck, a PowerPoint explaining what the concept is, but then having a sizzle reel, some tape, like a trailer for what the film will be, even though it doesn't exist yet. And since we edit ourselves, we've become very skilled at making these to help to translate our concept. Because in this art form, you can speak it, but to be able to see it and feel it is huge.
Hold on. For Mimi, what's a sizzler reel?
A sizzle reel, like I mentioned, it's like a trailer for a show that doesn't exist yet. So I want to create a show about bees. So I'm going to rip a bunch of footage from offline. I'm going to interview some people, maybe just one or two. I'm going to get some images that I can put together with some music and some title cards that explain the show in a visual format. Could be 30 seconds, could be 3 minutes.
So you're not actually, yeah. So it's not a trailer because you haven't actually done this. You're seeing if there's interest in spending money to do this.
Exactly. Exactly.
Got it. Sizzler. I can visualize the sizzler.
Exactly. And we make them sizzle for sure.
I love that.
Our first one.
So who's, go ahead.
One of our first ones, my friend was the light director for Martin Garrix, and I found him fascinating. He's a great dude. We're still very good friends. He was going to Amsterdam to redesign Martin's show in 2019. I said, we're going out there. We're flying with you. We're going to follow you for a month and just figure out what this is. We captured the whole process for a month. And then we ended up making a 3-minute sizzle from that footage. And with that sizzle, within 1 week, we partnered up with a production company who was larger than us at the time. They called up Scooter Braun, who they're friends with. He saw the sizzle, got on board immediately after seeing it. And then Scooter the next morning had breakfast with Jeffrey Katzenberg, who was the head of Quibi at the time, ex-Disney guy, and he bought it right on the spot. So that happened in an insane amount of time because of this piece of material that he could see and understand the show immediately. So now it takes a lot longer. People are way more risk averse. Quibi was an interesting moment in time where people, they were just buying up shows.
R.I.P. Quibi.
It shows the power of these sizzles. So we've gotten feedback that we have like the best in the business. So we decided to offer this to other production companies where we don't have to direct the project. We just, as I said, we're like doulas. We help bring the idea to life via a sizzle and then they can take it on and go forth.
The production company reaches out. The artist does not. This is at a level where it's already like, okay, there's money behind these people.
Yes. So generally, when you say the artist, you mean like the talent or the character in the documentary. So people, generally, if you want a documentary made about yourself, you're not really even understanding that this is a part of the process.
No. I meant the JP, right?
Sometimes directors who don't edit will reach out to us, but the initial business we've been getting is from production companies that have a development fund to pay for stuff like this, and they know us. And now that we're offering this, they're like, okay, wow, these guys are directors who edit. So they're coming with a vision. And yeah, if they can put up some big bucks, then we'll help them out and bring their show idea to life.
I love that because it makes sense to make that investment, right? Just like a pitch deck, you're going to do a good job with the pitch deck because you want to impress, impact, move people. You're going to spend some real dough for a sizzler, but you haven't spent all the money on production. And then you're hustling, trying to sell it. And everyone's like, nah, it doesn't work. That was 2 years ago, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
Cool. That's a cool business. Let me know if you're looking for investors. I know people.
All right. Sounds good.
So JP, The Nest, Hugh the Bird, JP, what's the best way to follow and see what you're doing?
Well, it's easy. You basically said it. I mean, our website is cuethebird.com, cuethebird.com. You'll see The Nest right up there as a link you can click. And then you'll find our Instagram there as well, where you can follow along for Cue the Birds Productions. And then on that Instagram is also my personal JP Styles, JP. So it's all right there.
Cool. Cool. And it's good stuff. Obviously, folks, I follow him and I see some really creative, cool things on his social channels.
Appreciate it.
All right. So, man, so comfort level is not a thing for you, apparently. It is for a lot of people. I do want to ask you, are you still playing music?
Yes. I just wrote a song with my good friend, Jordan Parker.
Cool.
I help him with some videos from time to time. And I wrote the lyrics with him and helped to, in a sense, compose the song. And I mean, drumming is still a love of mine. If there's a drum, I just picked up a hand drum this weekend and played with some people. And I've got a piano right here. So it's very much in my life. It's not the main thing, but it really started me on this whole creative process. So the relationship is still there.
Love it. So Mimi knows, being a listener of Elements of Styles, I ask this question of every one of my guests. So I'm going to ask my nephew, JP. We're doing karaoke and you're next. What is the go-to karaoke song that you'll be singing for everybody?
I'm going to give you two because I'm going to have to read the room there and decide which one. But the easy go-tos, if I have no time to think, Vanessa Carlton, 1,000 Miles. We want that throwback. Yep. I made a cover of that with the band that I was in high school, a rock cover.
Love it.
So that's always got a special place in my heart. And then if I want to get a little angsty because I can actually sound good in the Blink-182 voice, I'll do Blink-182, I Miss You, and get a whole performance going on. and go back to my pop punk rock days. So
and get the whole crowd dancing.
Exactly.
Love that. Entertainer, creative. Mimi, we're so proud of this young man, aren't we? Hey, man, thank you so much for sharing your time with us and the listeners. I loved it. And, you know, my goal is if I'm curious and I love who I'm talking with and what we're talking about, I hope that that goes for the listeners too. And I'm guessing it did here today, brother.
That's what it's about. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Folks, this has been another exciting episode of Elements of Styles. If you learned something or if you thought of somebody, send this to them, share it with them. Shoot, Mimi, share it with everyone. Be well, folks.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe on your platform of choice for a new episode each week and share this with everyone and anyone. If you have any questions or comments or have an idea for another guest, feel free to shoot me an email at mstiles@styles-law.com. That's mstiles@styles-law.com. And if you are a real estate professional, be sure to check us out on our private exclusive Facebook page, The Real Estate School at 892, for content and Massachusetts continuing education opportunities. Be well, folks.
This episode is brought to you in part by Secura Title. Secura Title is a fractional paralegal service assisting with all things real estate in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. SecuraTitle.com, where security and title come together. SecuriTitle.com. Secura Title.
This podcast is being provided for informational purposes only. The podcast is not a comprehensive overview of the subject and is not intended to provide legal or financial advice or an endorsement of any product or business. The views expressed by podcast guests are their own, and their appearance on the podcast does not imply any endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Please seek legal, financial, or tax advice before taking any action on the matters or products discussed herein.